الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, normally after a nikah we have a bayan on the virtues of nikah or on the rights of the husband or the rights of the wives or the duties and obligations, etc. However, today I intend completing one of the topics which we had commenced some time back, and unfortunately due to time restraints we were unable to complete. We were discussing the letter of Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh.
If you recall that Sayyidina Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, he had written a letter to his student, and in that letter he had advised the student with regards to many, many things. The student had requested advices from this great ustad of his, and that student had mentioned that I had spent so many years, I had studied tafsir, hadith, I studied jurisprudence, I studied everything, but I want concise nasihat. So we were unable to complete that topic and that subject. We had arrived at the incident that Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh had mentioned there in that letter, of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh and Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Hatim Asam was the student of Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, and after spending 33 years with him, in those days they didn't spend just 2 years and 3 years for the study of deen. These days a person goes to some madrasa, he spends 1 year and then we start calling him Maulana Sahab. He spends 6 months at some institution, and afterwards in some area he is called Mufti Sahab. Person does not even know the basics of Tajweed and we call him Qari Sahab. These titles have become so cheap today. We do not know the value of ilm. We haven't got the azmat of ilm. What was ilm? Who were the true ulama? And then when these people make mistakes, or when they give wrong fatwas, or when they create fitnas, then we say Maulana so-and-so, Hafiz so-and-so, Qari so-and-so. Whereas when we go to a doctor, then we first make sure that that person is not a bogus doctor. When we go to a lawyer, then we make sure that that person has got a qualification, proper qualification from some institution. When we go to an engineer, then we know that if we have to go to one of the bogus engineers who just did 1 year at some institution and put a big board there, engineering services, then that roof is going to collapse over our head. So for all other things, we make sure that the person is qualified enough for that title. So these people in those days spent years and years in the company of their tutors and their ustads to purify their hearts also, not only to gain the knowledge, but they gained the knowledge also, and with that knowledge they also did a purification of their hearts. Tazkiyah of their qulub was also made by those same asatiza. Nevertheless, what I am discussing is this, that after 33 years his ustad asks him, Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh asks him, that now that you are going, you will be going to your area, you will be going and working in your locality amongst your people, so what have you gained now in the 33 years that you spend? What did you learn? So he said, I learned 8 things. So the ustad was very disheartened, and he said, only 8 things in 33 years of your life that you spent with me. But in any case, now that you are departing, then tell me, what are those 8 things? What are those 8 lessons? Of course, he remembered lots of other things, but he said, I took 8 lessons. So he said, what is the first one? And I think we discussed the first one, or we hadn't completed the first one, Allah Ta'ala knows best. That he said, that I saw that every person has got a love for something or the other. Every person has got a love for something or the other. Somebody loves his wife very dearly. Since there was a nikah also, so there is no harm in loving one's wife. In fact, it is the hukam of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should love your wife. It is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you must love your children. There is no sin in loving one's wife and children. In fact, it is an ibadat. The fulfillment of the rights of the wife and for the wife of the husband, it is an ibadat. What we are talking about is that when the person's love is not according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when that love is based on just one's own passions and nafs, he is unconcerned about whether my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, my creator, is happy with that kind of love that I am giving to my wife or not. If that wife is saying, I must come, go to the cinemas, I must go to the theaters, or the husband is saying, come, let us go to the dance halls and to the gambling dens or some other places of vice, or let's watch the porn movies together, because no husband wants to see it alone. He wants to make his wife also watch whatever he is watching. We are dealing with cases every day, so we know what is happening. And they become very annoyed and displeased and angry if only that wife has to be a wife who has got some kind of dini background. Then they become very angry that what is this all you're talking about, parda, and you're talking about not watching movies and staying away from music. The life will become very boring. How are we going to live our life? So what does Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then do when we are going to displease our Allah and love? Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put hatred instead of love. Because love and hatred comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's sight into the hearts. When we are going to displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will create that friction, that disunity. Why are so many marriages ending up with divorces? Why is there so much of friction, so much of disunity that hardly a home we can find where they say that there are very happy people living in there? There's unity. Nigahe aqriba badli mizaje dosta badla. Mizaje aqriba badli. Nigahe aqriba badli mizaje dosta badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. When we are going to displease that one Allah, then Allah Ta'ala say, what does he do after that? Nigahe aqriba badli. The person will start complaining, my relatives, my family members, they don't want to see me, they don't want to talk to me, they are distancing themselves from me. Then he will start complaining about his own friends, whom at one time he was praising and putting them on the skies, and say, my friend, you will never find a friend like that. And after a few days you will find that that same friendship that he was talking about, now suddenly he's complaining about that same friend. That my friend does not want to talk to me. My friend has distanced himself from me. My friend has done me down. My friend has suddenly shown it, or is giving attention to somebody else. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will create those divisions. Allah ta'ala will put that into the hearts of the people. Nigahe aqriba badli, mizaje dosta badla. Nazare unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to turn away his glance of rahmat and mercy from us, then the whole world will turn away from us. Then we won't have anybody to pass a hand of affection and love over our heads. Compassion and kindness and everything Allah Ta'ala puts into the hearts of people. The love comes from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's side. And we must not confuse this for the love that people have for film actors and actresses. We will say that what about them? They are disbelievers, but we have millions of people that are going out to watch them and see them dance and sing. What kind of love they have for them. Brothers, let us not be mistaken, that is not love. If that was love, then ask those people, when that same film actress has to meet up with an accident and her face is disfigured, or if she has to get a third degree burn, then see if those cameras still pursue her and follow her. Where's all that love gone? Or when that singer who was singing with such melodious voice that millions of people were attracted to his concerts, let him lose his voice and then afterwards ask if those people still have love for him. All that love will vanish. So those pretty faces and those beautiful voices, that love is not true love. The true love is which Allah Ta'ala puts into the hearts for his awliya. He puts into the hearts of the people that when that person gets sick, they get even more love for him. That person gets old, the love increases. Now they get worried that this person was not depart from us. In whatever condition that person is, this love increases. That is true love, which is for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I don't know what I was discussing and where we went, but nevertheless what I was talking about is that yes, the marriages, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the one who puts the love between the hearts of the husbands and wives. So Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that I looked around and I saw that every person has got love for someone or the other, for some property or the other, some gold, silver, something or the other. But then the lesson that I took from that is that when I looked around, I saw that people are leaving this world day by day. I'm giving you an explanation that people are parting, they are going. And nobody seems to have taken anything with him. Nobody took anybody with him or took anything with him. The husband and wife who were dearly in love, but the wife didn't tell the family members that I'm also going to accompany my husband to the grave. And the husband also was dearly in love with that wife. He didn't say that I'm going to accompany my wife to the grave. They didn't take their gold and silver. They didn't take their properties. They didn't take their cars. They didn't take anything. The only thing they took with them were their deeds and their actions. So he said, therefore, I gave my love to good deeds. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that now this person divorces his wife and distances himself from his family, from his business? He goes and sits on a mountain top, take tasbih and read? No. It's that same family, that same wife, those same children, that same business, that same body of his, those same eyes of his, those same ears of his, and the same tongues of his, and the hands and feet of his. The same thing, he now uses it to create good actions and deeds. That same eye now, he creates good actions and deeds. The same ears, he listens to those things which will give him good deeds. The same hands and feet, he uses it so that it gives him good deeds. As that some wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, that first I curse my hands and my feet and my eyes and my ears and my tongue to discipline them. If they're going on the wrong line, then I curse them. But after they have been disciplined, and when good actions and deeds now emanate from that body, he says, now I feel like kissing my own tongue. I feel like kissing my own eyes. And I feel like kissing my own hands and feet. Because they now became the means of my connection with my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, therefore I gave my love to good deeds, because those were the things that accompany the person to the grave. Otherwise, the love that people have given to the things of this world, we know that it is going to definitely separate from us. Either we will separate from it or it will separate from us. Then where is the intelligence or where is the sensibility in a person working 7 days a week? There are so many people. Their wives are complaining. Their families are complaining. My husband has got absolutely no time for the family, for the wife, for the children, nothing. The person says, so-and-so has got no time at all. Why? Because he's working 7 days a week. And it's not that he is desperate. We are not talking about those who are unfortunately in a desperate situation and position. And their employment is such that they have to work 7 days a week from dawn till sunset to make a living and to provide some food and clothing for the family. We are talking about those people whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had made bosses of their own businesses. Allah Ta'ala made them, provided them sufficiently. They have got sufficient properties, they've got plenty of savings, they've got big bank balances. But yet they want to work 7 days a week from dawn till sunset. The namazas are made qaza. There is no time for those who are sick and ailing. So much so that if that person's own child and wife is sick, he hasn't got the time to go and bring some medication for them. Is this life? Where are we heading towards? Which way are we looking? In which direction are we going? Do we ever take a stock of our lives? Brothers, I'm telling you with deep sincerity, deep-hearted sincerity and love, that let us not waste our lives. That risk and that sustenance which Allah Ta'ala has destined for us, so many times or every khutbah you listen, so many khutbahs you have heard. Allah, wa inna nafsa lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqaha. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ وَتَوَكَّلُوا عَلَيْهِ. There's no time to go into the details. But that risk and that sustenance which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has destined for a person, he will not die, he will not leave this world until he has received that complete sustenance. Until that last grain of rice hasn't gone down his throat, he will not depart if it is in his taqdeer to eat that. And if it is not in his taqdeer, then he will have it in his hand and he will part. One family were sitting around, they were enjoying the watermelon. It was watermelon season in India. And there those watermelon, those who have seen it, some of them are so huge that you need 5 people to carry it. And this is not a joke. So they were enjoying the watermelon. And this person, it was during the days that I was studying there, and this person also cut a slice and he brought it up to his mouth and he had a heart attack and died. It was not in his taqdeer for that he should eat that watermelon piece. So let us not become crazy like the people of the world are becoming crazy. Let us have time for everything. Time for ibadah, time for business, time for the wife, time for the children, time for the families, time to visit those people who are sick and ailing, and time to attend the janaza salats, and time for the burials, and time for the other things. There must be a balance in our life. There must be moderation. There must be no extremes. How long are we going to continue with a life of extremes? So he says that I made my niyat and I gave my heart to good deeds. That the good deeds are going to come out from that same body and is going to come out from that same home and with that same wife and children when he's going to associate with them in the manner that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. So much so that if he's going to smile and talk to that wife, or if he's going to even put a morsel of food into the wife's mouth for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then outwardly it is a kind of a love between husband and wife. But the same action of his is creating good deed. And that is what will accompany the person into the grave. So that is what he said, that I gave my heart to good deeds. He said, you have learned an excellent lesson. Just this one lesson is sufficient. That the person is, if he takes this lesson, it is sufficient. Because now it will bring his life onto the Sharia. It will prevent him from going on to extremes. His love for anything will be based on the Quran and the Sunnah. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased with that love, then he will give and extend that love. And if Allah Ta'ala is displeased and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is displeased, then he is not going to extend that love. So I think we had already discussed some aspects of this first point, but again we seem to have been bogged down with that first point. Nevertheless, let us just move on to the next one, where he says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif mentions, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. That person who feared standing before his Allah on the day of Qiyamah, and he restrained his nafs, he withheld his nafs from those khahishat, from those desires which were of the evil kind. This nafs is inna nafsa la ammaratum bissu, ay kaseerul amr bissu. It will keep on pushing the person towards sin. It will keep on ordering the person, goading him, encouraging him to go towards that which is haram. And in haram, the nafs enjoys a kind of taste. The desires of the nafs we can never fulfill. The person who is going to go to fulfill his desires, which are of the haram kind, then we must remember that he has created the pit fire of hell in his own heart. And there will never be a stage of satisfaction. There will never be a stage of satisfaction. Ask those people who are on drugs, that is there a stage that they can call, now we are satisfied, we have taken enough. I deal with many, many cases. And when they give it up and they come to the right programs, and when they start enjoying that connection with Allah Ta'ala, and when they start finding that peace and that sukoon, that tranquility, that serenity, that joy, that comfort, that happiness in these environments, then they say that at that time we were just increasing the dosage, increasing and increasing. There was no such thing as satisfaction stage. Because the person has created Jahannam and hellfire in his own heart. And hellfire is never going to be satisfied. With no matter how much of people will go into hell, when Allah Ta'ala will question hell, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأَتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِمْ مَزِيدٍ. When the fire of hell will be questioned, that are you now full? Jahannam will say, are there more? So that is what happens when a person goes for his khahishat and for his passions and for his evil desires. That even if he has to drink up the waters of the ocean which is salty to quench his thirst, it is not going to quench his thirst. The only thing that will quench his thirst will be a glass or a tumbler full of clean, pure, fresh water. So these khahishat and these desires, we must not be mistaken. It is going to continue. We will go deeper and deeper and deeper until finally the person's life is ruined. And then when he will realize and he wants to come back, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive his sins. But I mentioned in one of my majlis last week or the other week, that Allah Ta'ala will forgive his sins. But the damage that he has already done to his health, the damage that he has done to his wealth, the damage that he has done to his reputation, where is he going to get that back? One youngster who went very far in the drug addictment. He was addicted and he was gone very far, so much so that he went into a toilet in the rave club. He had to go and relieve himself and he went and slept away in the toilet. He was on such a high. But he tells me, he says that when he came out of that and when he started enjoying the zikr and the ibadat and the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, now he only realizes how far he's gone. He was gone. But the question is this, or the issue was what I was discussing, is that he asked this question. He says, Mawlana, it worries me now. Will my Allah forgive me? So far I went. How much of sins I committed? To what extent I went? Will Allah forgive? I said, definitely He will forgive if you make plenty of tawbah. Allah doesn't hold grudge against anyone. Allah got no need for holding grudge. But certain sins are such that when the person repents, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. But the damage that has already been done to his health, to his life, to his wealth, to his reputation, to his honor, the people don't forgive. The people who know about him, they don't forgive easily. And his own health, where is he going to bring back that health? All the drugs that have gone into the system and has damaged the person's health, where is he going to bring that health back from? And all the money that went down the drain, where is he going to get that back from? So therefore, let us not follow our will, our whims and passions and desires. We must fear that there will be a day on which we have to stand before Allah and be accountable for all our actions and deeds. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that that person who feared that day and then he restrained himself from his evil passions and desires, then Jannat will be his abode. If Allah Ta'ala gives life, health, and then opportunity, then inshallah in a fortnight's time we will continue. Akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.